Good evening and welcome to part 5 of Heartwood. We told you how the king had got lost hunting and never returned, and how his queen, who had once been one of the fey folk, the other crowd, was so deeply in grief that her 3 sons had set off on a quest to find the healing leaves to ease her pain. And their way had been marked and indicated by a map given to them by a hermit. But they had argued so greatly that the map had been torn, and they had decided when they got to a fork in the road to go their separate ways, to see if they could find it on their own, and to meet back at that very same place 1 month from hence. We told you the story of the eldest prince. We told you the story of the middle prince. And now I'm going to tell you the story of the youngest prince, whose greatest weakness was he never knew when to stop. The youngest prince marched off. He put his little pipe to his lips and began to play. His playing was as appalling as ever, but actually protected him upon the road, because even the fiercest of bears and wolves would stuff their paws in their ears and limp away from such an awful sound. Little did he know how well it protected him. He played, he walked, until he was footsore and hungry. He ate wild berries, he drank from streams, and eventually he came to the top of a hill, and when he looked down into that hill, there was the most beautiful house. 100 golden windows reflected in the light of the rising sun. And in the garden of that beautiful house, 3 young women sobbing softly to themselves. Now, a lot of people, princes and all manner of people, would have seen their distress and maybe walked on. But not the youngest prince. He did not know when to stop. And so he carried on walking straight into the garden, looked at the 3 young women and said, "What ails you? What causes your sorrow? Can I help?" And the 3 young women said, "Our father is recently passed, and we have inherited this great house, but the lawyers don't know who the house should belong to. And our father left a will. In that will he gave each one of us a gold piece, and whoever could fill the rooms with just 1 gold piece, they would inherit the house, for he would consider them the wisest." "Oh," said the eldest princess, "I am mourning my father, but more I mourn all the wonderful parties we have. Oh, it was such a bright house, such a gay house, such beautiful clothes. I have no idea how to fill the rooms." "Oh," said the middle daughter, "I am mourning my father, but oh, how I am mourning the fact that, well, everybody danced attendance on us, and now we're going to have to look after ourselves." And the youngest daughter, who was quiet beyond measure, "But I am just mourning our father." And the youngest prince found himself very drawn to her. "Well," said the eldest girl, "I am going to take my gold coin and win this house. You 2 would be very welcome to stay. I shall have the best parties and the finest food." Well, who knew if the estate, the money, the inheritance would last so long? But she went out. She must fill all the rooms. And what did she do? She bought feathers. Feathers from every farmer, every market, every pillow, every mattress. She had hundreds and thousands of feathers delivered to the house. She paid her gold coin over. And then she ran from room to room with armfuls of feathers. It was the strangest thing to see. Such behaviour! It made the other 2 laugh, and they had not laughed for so long. They threw back their heads as their eldest sister ran from room to room, throwing armfuls of feathers in the air. And the feathers, well, they filled the room from top to bottom and then rained down like snow. By the time she got to the last room, the 100th room, well, the feathers had settled like snow, and the rooms were not full. "Well," said the eldest girl, "I tried." The next day, the middle girl tried. She said, "I have an idea." And she went and bought 100 candles. And they watched. The youngest prince intrigued. This seemed like a good idea that could possibly work. She would place a candle in a room and light it. And thus she went from room to room, placing and lighting the candles. And she filled the rooms with, well, light. But of course, 100 rooms is many rooms. And it took her a long time. And by the time she got to the 100th room, and just as she was lighting the wick on the 100th candle, the first candle in the very first room, well, it spluttered and died and went out. One after another, the rooms were plunged into darkness. She had filled the rooms with light, but not all at the same time. "Oh, well," said the middle daughter, "I tried." And she, well, she sat down and talked to her sister. The youngest prince smiled at the youngest sister and said, "I have an idea. Do you trust me?" And the youngest sister thought she had never trusted anyone as much. She smiled and said, "You tell me what to do. Go into town and take this gold coin. Spend every bit of it except one penny. And when you do spend it, you must buy food and fine drink and musicians as well, hire musicians, and invite everybody to a party." And that's what she did. And when she came back, she had just one penny left, as he had instructed her. And he took the whistle and he said, "This you can borrow for a penny." And ever since then, it's been known as a penny whistle. And he taught her how to play it. And he wasn't very good, but fortunately, the musicians that she had hired were, and she was a very quick learner. That evening, the evening of the third day, everyone arrived. And they wandered into this house with 100 golden windows at sunrise and sunset on either side of the house. And there was food, and good food, and fine wine, and wonderful music. And there was talk and laughter in that house for the first time in, well, since before the old father, the old man, had got sick. And the youngest girl, she ran from room to room and opened all the doors and begged people explore. And as the music started, people started to tap their feet. And of course, with the tapping of their feet came the dancing. And soon there was music and dancing and laughter. And of course, all those three things together, well, that will give you happiness. The lawyer that had witnessed each of the girls' attempt said to the eldest, "You tried so hard, my dear, but the feathers, they settled." "And you," he said to the middle girl, "you tried so hard, such a clever idea, but you were beaten by physics." "But," he said to the youngest, "you have really used your brains and shown that you will look after your sisters and this house and everyone, for you have filled the rooms four times over. You have filled every room from top to bottom with music and laughter and happiness and song." Well, of course, she took over the house. And she thanked the youngest prince, handed him back his penny whistle, said, "You'll need this one day." He said, "And one day I will come back for you. But that is more stories than I can tell you this night." And the youngest prince, he made his way back to the fork in the road, for the tree with the healing leaves was not on his way. And I will tell you more of that story later. But that is the end of Heartwood Part 5.